It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. It's been almost a month since a Jersey City Council member with powerful political connections was charged in a hit-and-run accident that caused minor injuries to a bicyclist. The incident has spurred calls for the council member, Amy DeGees, to resign. But the majority of her fellow city council members and Mayor Stephen Fulop have stopped short of that if they've said anything at all. That could change at a Jersey City Council meeting tonight, and WNYC's Nancy Solomon is here to tell us about it. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
Surveillance video captured the accident on the morning of July 19th. Tell us what this video shows.
It shows a man on a bike riding through the intersection of MLK Drive and Forest Street. He runs a red light. And right when he's in the middle of the intersection, a black SUV comes through at a pretty fast clip and runs smack into him. He flies off his bike, tumbles in the air, his shoes come off, and he lands to the side of the SUV. Thankfully, I think he would have been injured much worse if he had been stayed in the front of it. The car keeps moving. And remarkably, the cyclist gets up off the pavement and limps off to the sidewalk. The SUV belongs to Amy DeGees. 6 hours would pass before she reported the accident. And now she's been charged with two violations, failure to report an accident and what's called action in case of an accident, which is the official language for what the rest of us call a hit and run. City Councilman James Solomon told me he's actually surprised DeGees hasn't resigned.
And it's not just no resignation. It's no apology either to the biker or the constituents. No accounting for why it took 6 hours to go to the police station to report the crash. And you know, I've called on the councilperson to resign because I don't think she can continue to serve the public and earn the public's trust, given what the video we all saw.
The case, Nancy, has now been moved out of Hudson County to Essex. Explain who Amy DeGees is and why this case needed to be moved.
She's the daughter of Tom DeGees, who is the Hudson County executive. That's a very powerful position, the person who runs county government. And as in most counties in New Jersey, the county executive has close ties to the majority political party in the county, and that's the Democrats. He's retiring, and Amy DeGees was the chairwoman of the Hudson County Democratic Committee, better known as the Machine, for the last few years. And she also worked for a county high school. And then she was elected on Steve Fulop's slate to the city council. So you've got three ways there to exercise power. County government, which includes the county prosecutor's office, the party machine, and the mayor, who can exert control over the local police. It's also worth noting that Hudson machine politics is made up of political fiefdoms, and DeGees was forced out as chairwoman recently as part of a deal to create peace between two other political bosses in the county. I'm told nobody wants to upset that particular apple cart by calling for her resignation. It's this kind of tangled web and all the political interests that leads James Solomon, the city councilman, to suggest this case should be handled at a much higher level.
I think it would be a good practice if the Attorney General's office could handle politically charged cases across the state, including this one, and demonstrate an ongoing track record of impartiality in those cases.
So at the very least, Nancy, it sounds as if it's a good idea to move the case out of the county.
Several people told me it's a good first step, but not everyone is buying that this solves the problem. I spoke with Hector Oseguera, who ran in the Democratic primary for Congress in 2020. He's a Jersey City activist, and he has little trust that someone as embedded in the political machine as Amy DeGees can be held accountable.
Because it spans countywide, it in some ways spans statewide, because the people who need statewide influence rely on the county influence, which boils down to the municipal influence, which is all the same system, you know, to begin with.
Oseguera is talking about the county line. Anyone running for office needs the endorsement of the political machine to get preferential placement on the ballot. So that includes congressional representatives who run across several counties, as well as statewide races of the two U.S. senators and the governor.
So I think it's really impossible to expect that there even exists an independent body that could review these sorts of cases without political influence.
So even though the case is moving to Essex, Osa Garrett doesn't think that will happen.
No, but it'll help the Jersey City Police Department. I spoke with a former Hudson County officer who had helped the FBI with a corruption sting. His name is Rich Rivera, and he's now a police director in a South Jersey town.
Unfortunately, it puts low-level police officers squarely in the middle of a potential political volcano, right? You got people that would favor the individual that was driving, and then those that are her potential enemies. And those two forces go at it behind the scenes, and the police are squarely placed in the middle.
But Rivera says what is different in this case and will help is that the hit and run was caught on video.
Some of the reporting on DeGee since the accident has suggested she has a sketchy driving record, and she lives in a moderate income housing development despite making about $200,000 a year. DeGees ran on Mayor Steve Phillips' slate, as we said. Could this be a political problem for him and his potential aspirations to become governor?
It could be. The video is so bad. The way the cyclist, who's a large man, flips in the air like a rag doll as the SUV drives away. There's already a satire of a DeGees Phillips campaign ad that loops the hit-and-run footage while DeGees says she'll never leave anybody behind. A former city councilman wrote a column that argues that Phillips is merely waiting to force her to resign until September 1st, because after that point, there wouldn't be time to put someone up for re-election this year, and instead the council would appoint someone to serve until November 2023.
Well, it certainly sounds as if there's a big crowd expected for tonight's city council meeting. More than 100 people have signed up to speak already. WNYC's Nancy Solomon on this story. Nancy, thank you for speaking to us.
Oh, great to be with you, Michael.